And we should have the strongest commitment to ourselves as possible compared to any other relationship in our life. And it can be.
Welcome to Rebel Wellness, the go-to podcast for realigning and revitalizing your health and well-being. I'm your host, Kaylee, also known as Coach Kales. I'm a holistic health educator, certified nutritionist, and fitness professional of nearly a decade. I'm stoked to have you with us. You just joined a community of amazing souls who are ready to break free from the confines of the often outdated and confusing health advice all around us. Living in a world overwhelmed by quick fix diets and unrealistic body standards, us rebels stand for change. If you're like me, you're exhausted with the confusion and polarization plaguing the social media health scene. My mission is to empower you to step beyond today's diet culture, adopting a holistic health approach paired with the foundations of science for lasting, well-rounded wellness. Through teaching you how to tune in and embrace your mind, body, and soul, we'll reject one-size-fits-all solutions, realigning you on a better path that honors your unique needs and values. With new episodes weekly, this podcast is your sanctuary for deep wellness exploration, featuring expert advice, real-life stories, and a true commitment to your growth. Your journey to better health and simplicity in life begins now. Let's jump right in. What's up, Rebel Soul? Welcome to part two of the Prego series. There have been a lot of people who have said that the name has been funny to them and they've enjoyed it. So if you haven't listened to part one, which would be episode 67, I believe, I think that it is a really great place to start if you are somebody who has not yet decided entirely if they want to have a baby and all the kind of discussion around that. I've had some amazing feedback to that episode, so I've been so grateful that you guys have felt the need to reach out and let me know that that was a episode that really spoke to you. And even those of you who have said that like it helped you better understand somebody in your family's decision to not have children and stuff, that's like totally more than I could have ever expected to come back from that episode. So thank you for sharing your feedback on that one. I really like getting into some of that intimate conversation that I don't think enough people are really having out in the more open conversation space, at least that I've experienced. So thank you for telling me how that made you feel. But today I wanted to let you guys know that we are going to be discussing my best professional advice for pregnancy preparation through the lens of nutrition and fitness. So a little bit of mindset will slide into this conversation as well, because those kind of are a part of both your nutrition and fitness. If you don't have your mind right, you will never have good long-term success with your food or your movement. But we're definitely going to be sticking to what you can do actionably now to best prepare your body for getting pregnant, either soon, like within a few months. I mean, I would definitely say that some of this stuff, if you're trying to get pregnant like right now, it's going to absolutely help, but it would be better for you to work on nailing down these things if you haven't already when trying to get pregnant, so that your pregnancy will go a lot more smoothly and healthfully. Because I have been in the trenches with so many clients over the last few years, especially who had unexpected miscarriages. Guys, that's more common than you think. If you are somebody who has gone through a miscarriage or a health complication that related to terminating a pregnancy, it's way more common than you think. Even in my small little community, I've had, I would say arguably of all of my clients who wanted to get pregnant and who planned to get pregnant and tried, I would say nearly 50 or even 60% have experienced at least one miscarriage. So I think that it's really great that I've been seeing a lot more on social media, more women sharing their stories and just talking about it a lot more, because it is really common. You know, it's actually a very natural, common thing. And the weight of it can be really heavy, especially if you feel like you're alone or something's wrong with you, you know. And there's a lot to be said about the male's contribution to it, especially nowadays. I'm not going to talk about that too much in this episode. We do have some exciting guests coming down the line here that are pregnancy postpartum experts that I'm really excited to talk about their experience more with, including kind of like the male component to conception. But it is really important to know that it is way more common to have complications with pregnancy, but we do know now, as we've especially been researching and observing fertility more hands-on, we do know that there's a lot of things that you can do to reduce your chances of having complications in your pregnancy or during fetal development. You know, there's a lot of different things that you can actually prepare for better versus just kind of showing up, getting pregnant, and then seeing how it goes. I would say personally, from being hand in hand or lockstep or whatever with so many clients throughout their entire pregnancy, pre, intra, and postpartum, there's definitely things that I have observed over the timeline that are for sure essential for you to do. So we're going to talk about that today in this episode. So you'll want to stay tuned and listen to everything that we chat about to get your best kind of comprehensive understanding of the prenatal side of this equation. But should you have more unique health circumstances, like genetically, or you're dealing with some sort of disease actively right now, you're on specific medications that might interfere with your potential fetus, etc., you will, of course, need to explore that with your primary care provider, your medical professional, okay? This episode is not medical advice, so I want you to listen along with the understanding that these are my professional suggestions as far as lifestyle factors that you can implement to have better chances with a healthy pregnancy, but it's not specifically to you because I don't know your unique body. So you'll definitely want to make sure that everything that you do is in conjunction with care from whoever is your primary care physician, okay? But real quick, I'd always love to invite you to come join our social media if you're new to the podcast or you haven't yet. It is going to be one of the best places to join the community on at Rebel Wellness Podcast on Instagram or at Kaylee Loren if you'd like to have a more in-depth connection to me as a coach and as a human in general. So join us there for your best chance of kind of having that more community focused engagement. And then I would also definitely invite you to come join our wellness newsletter. It's a one time a month monthly newsletter that is all things in the wellness space. It's going to be very valuable to you, trust me. And it's going to be your best way to keep up with like what I have to offer you as far as future learning and educational outlets and freebies. Of course, there's a lot of freebies that I've already been rolling out this year. So if you want to stay connected, the best place for you to go will definitely be coachkales.com. Join for the newsletter there, or you can just keep an eye on my webpage. You know, there's lots of great stuff on there. You just dig around on that website. But also too, I do want you guys to know that you can always reach out to me on Instagram, ask me some questions, give me feedback. You know, I've been, like I said earlier on in this episode already, it's been amazing to get your guys' feedback and how several of the episodes so far in season two have really spoke to you and touched you. And I really like to hear if you have other questions that you'd like me to either answer on future episodes or just straight up chat with you on there. So feel free to DM me, you know, don't be shy. I am a very welcoming person and there's no strings attached. You know, I'm never that person that's like, hey, come talk to me so I can pitch you some sort of sale. Like currently I am not really taking on more like personal training clients or any of that kind of stuff. I'm actually just working in the coaching and creative space. So I am more here to kind of build and grow as more of a community. So if you want to work with me one-on-one, of course you can reach out and we can chat about that and see what your availability is compared to mine and if we're a good fit. However, right now probably in the future either, I'm not that kind of person who's just solicits business constantly. I know a lot of people, especially like use their podcasts for that. And I definitely, you know, it is a business and I definitely want you to learn from me. And if you connect with my educational style, that's great. But at the same time, do know that this is a safe space for you to not feel like you're just being constantly sold at, you know. Of course, I'm going to offer you things, but at the same time, do never feel pressure from me that like I'm just going to be one of those people who just slides into your DMs and then bugs you constantly until you buy something. Like, no, I am not a big fan of that. I never have been. I just have to add that in there for whoever's listening, because I think it's important that you know that there's not all of us out here in the wellness space are just trying to constantly push as many massive sales as possible. And like, no hate to the people that do. I just know what that feels like as a consumer on the other end of like when you are just like, you really like how somebody presents stuff and you are curious about things, but then you just get like hammered with like advertising and marketing and like just sales. And I'm like, this is so unauthentic. You know what I mean? So anyways, let's continue into this episode now. And I'm going to be talking about these things for the prenatal phase, kind of like steps so that they can help you clear the slate and apply to your life as you observe and become more mindful of your life now, in the ways that you need to kind of implement or adjust things to have your best chance in this prenatal phase of pregnancy. Okay. So I would highly recommend, if you are somebody who's real serious about getting their prenatal game on, I would get out a notepad or make some notes in your phone and kind of write down some of these things for yourself to observe. And there's a really strong chance that maybe I'll just put together on the show notes on my website for you a little breakdown of these as well in the near future so that you can reference that as well. So let's get into it. All right, so step one, I highly recommend that you zoom out and observe your day-to-day lifestyle and your health feedback. Let me tell you about health feedback in a moment. But what I mean by zooming out and observing your day-to-day lifestyle is that I have found it's really important for my clients, like usually one-on-one, I zoom out and observe their lifestyle and then kind of give some feedback or we make adjustments together. But this is something that you absolutely can do on your own. Or maybe if you are on like a fertility journey with one of your friends or your parent or your sibling or your partner, you know, this is a good conversation to kind of sit down and have somebody else who's outside of you also kind of observe. Because I think the thing that I have noticed the most is that a lot of people struggle, which we all struggle to, like, if you were inside, there's a phrase that's like, if you're inside the pill bottle, you can't read the prescription from the inside. Sometimes other people have to read it for you on the outside. It's kind of like that for life. Like there's a lot of times where we're so in our routine or kind of stuck in our mentalities or whatever, that it's really hard for us to just like obligatorily like look at our life and be like, this is not healthy. This is not optimal. I can do this better, you know, but other people could. Other people definitely can. And not in a way where I want you to have people judge you, but more in a way where I want, you know, somebody to hold you accountable, to help you see things perhaps that you normally wouldn't see. You know, maybe this even works well if you have a therapist for like talk therapy, and just go through your lifestyle and be like really raw and honest about how you show up, what you do, what you don't do, you know, in regards to specifically like nutrition and fitness, or all the way down to like your sleep quality, how much water you drink, you know, the baseline of your foundations for your health. Those things will be really helpful for you to understand where you might be falling short when it comes to getting your body into the most fertile state possible. So it's really important actually that we take a second to just straight up tell you that your most fertile state is going to be when you are in a safest position. So you're not chronically stressed, you're not starving yourself. You know, most stress actually is kind of an umbrella for a lot of things that go under diet, fitness, lifestyle, work, flow, you know, all that kind of stuff, mental health, you know, traumas in the past or present. All of those things are going to be combined to help your body feel like it should be fertile or not. I would say that if you don't know already, fertility is definitely based on the fact that your body is an environment that is safe to grow a baby. Your body is always going to be measuring against consistency and well-fed. You know, that's why usually a lot of women have to put on excess body fat if they're underweight to get fertile, is because a really low body fat percentage body is not a safe space for growing a baby. Our hormones are always going to be out of whack, you know, all that kind of stuff. This is why you see a lot of people, I'm not going to like name names, but like the leader of Peloton and a lot of other fitness influencers and stuff, going through IVF and such to get pregnant because they are not, they're too lean. They're too a little bit psychotic about fitness and their nutrition. They're too controlled, and AKA they're too stressed. Their internal state is too stressed to actually get pregnant, because it's like, why would I want to carry a baby right now? Like, you're constantly cycling, you're constantly running, you're constantly controlling my food that I get, you know, I'm undernourished, I'm overtrained, you know, that's a usual common issue that I have seen, and not always the case.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace. You know, when you're really stressed or not feeling so great about your life or about yourself, talking to someone who understands can really help. But who is that person? How do you find them? Where do you even start? Talkspace. Talkspace makes it easy to get the support you need. With Talkspace, you can go online, answer a few questions about your preferences, and be matched with a therapist. And because you'll meet your therapist online, you don't have to take time off work or arrange childcare. You'll meet on your schedule, wherever you feel most at ease. If you're depressed, stressed, struggling with a relationship, or if you want some counseling for you and your partner, or just need a little extra one-on-one support, Talkspace is here for you. Plus, Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance? No problem. Now get $80 off of your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
You know, sometimes it's I'm undertrained and overnourished, but not really nourished, overfed, rather. That's the proper term. I'm overfed and undertrained. So those are the two major categories that I typically see people struggle with fertility, because they're two different highly stressed states, okay? When you think about somebody who is undernourished and overtrained, they are overly stressed, they don't have enough nutrients, they're usually under body weight, but it's maintaining this lean body that they have put on a pedestal and maybe might be part of their identity, you know? Or, you know, honestly, I have found the people who always want to stay the leanest and struggle to nourish themselves properly, it typically aligns with eating disorders and such, is that they typically are having a hard time with their identity, with what their body looks like. It's so underrated how hard that is to break out of, especially when you're going on a fertility journey specifically. I'm not going to dive into it as a like psychological state or any of that, because that's not the point. The point is that this directly correlates to challenges with fertility, because I see women constantly overdoing it even when they do get pregnant, and then they have complications during their pregnancy because they're still grasping to trying to stay as lean as possible, trying to make sure that they get their body back, quote unquote, bounce back, quote unquote, after pregnancy, versus how do I show up the most nourished as possible? How do I have the healthiest pregnancy and take the best care of my body and my fetus, as well as how do I let myself recover after giving birth, because it's an extremely traumatic situation to the body. Instead, we're like, I need to make sure I go to all my fitness classes still, and I need to make sure I monitor my food so I don't gain too much pregnancy weight. You know, all this stuff that's like such toxic narratives, and I absolutely have to work so hard on my clients that fall prey to that mentality, because it is usually one of the number one things that drives a complicated pregnancy or a baby that ends up getting born with malnourishment in certain areas because they just didn't take enough care of their nourishment and they didn't relax and let their body have like a parasympathetic nervous system response at certain points in their pregnancy. They're just constantly on go, never on relax, you know? And so it's important to know that when you're in either of those states, or if you're in an overfed, meaning you're eating way too much and of not good quality, and you're not moving enough, you know, then typically we see people struggle with like IBS, and IBS can lead to autoimmune disorders like Hashimoto's. And at the same time, you tend to see people who just struggle with gut health in general, which means inflammation. And there's always going to be a lot of body inflammation, or even worse, continues into insulin resistance, which can either manifest into PCOS, which is a hormonal imbalance, or it can manifest into a variety of other issues like diabetes and such. So we do see that a lot in the overfed and undertrained bodies, and that can relate to an unsafe environment internally. Even though there's excess body fat, it's in a position where it still is not safe to grow a baby or it is, but then your pregnancy is going to be far more complicated. I've seen clients that I've really pressed to get their insulin resistance and their belly fat accumulation and such under control. And sometimes it doesn't go on the timeline that they want. And so they rush it and then they get pregnant and then they end up with gestational diabetes or other blood sugar challenges or just complications in the pregnancy in general, preeclampsia, you know, a whole bunch of different stuff. And they are definitely correlated to the state of their body when they get pregnant. So I urge a lot of my clients and friends and all of that who are in a excess body fat, specifically belly fat position, to work their best on reducing that as much as possible in a variety of different ways before getting pregnant, because it will benefit your fertility state as well. This is also why we're seeing a lot more women who go on Ozempic for PCOS or other things, for just excess body fat in general, getting into a fertility state where they can actually conceive finally, because the body is actually getting into a safer state because it's losing excess fat. It's getting more balanced blood sugar. It's getting your hormones back kind of into a healthier alignment so that the proper hormones are doing what they're supposed to during your cycle. You know, all of those things are very much correlated to your body, body weight, body fat percentage, you know, all that kind of stuff. So I've seen it on both ends. So that whole part right now is just so you better understand, where are you at right now? Zoom out, observe it. See, like, realistically, what do you think you can improve without judging yourself? We don't need to be judging ourselves. We don't need to be mad that we have been one way or the other. You know, it's not going to benefit you at all to judge yourself during this process. The best thing you can do is just like, all right, I have a very specific goal. It has a really serious, like, weight it's carrying, because I want to make sure that my future children are as healthy as possible. So it helps you have a really strong why, and that will help you fall back onto something that means a little bit more than just, I just really want to get my summer body. You know, it's going to carry a lot more weight for you than something shallow like that. Okay, and the other side of the step one with the health feedback, you want to look at things like symptoms. You know, a lot of the times it's hard for us to know what our body is telling us until we pause and we start to become mindful of things and be like, oh, I didn't realize that this was a symptom of something, you know. So very easy things to start with would be regular or irregular cycles. Your period is your health report card. So you're going to be able to understand your fertility very intimately as you get intimate with your cycle. So if you are somebody who's on birth control or an IUD or whatever, and you want to start getting more fertile, I would recommend considering and talking to you. Well, I don't know if I would say talk to your doctor, because there's still a lot of not great advice in mainstream healthcare, unfortunately. But I would say that if you have stubborn belly fat, you have PCOS or any of these different things, and you're working on fertility, fake hormones in oral contraceptives or in the IUD, like that Mirena and stuff, because it has localized progestin, those things are going to hold you back from healing your body into a position that will be safer and more fertile for a future pregnancy. Of course, that's going to come with a trade-off. You know, you are going to have to follow the fertility awareness method. That's what I utilize and have had really good success with. And it's actually made me and many of my other clients who have learned their own body and learned the fertility awareness method really connect and be more empowered with understanding exactly when they're ovulating, about to start their period, you know, different symptoms that they struggle with. It's actually helped us figure out, like, hey, you do have a hormonal imbalance. Something is off. You know, we can get actionable on it sooner than later, because nothing is worse than being in the latter half of your fertility zone, like 35 and up, and have been on birth control your whole life, and your hormones be so out of whack that you can't get them naturally realigned without either 2 years at least of detoxing and realignment and lifestyle changes, or IVF, which doesn't always work. I've had so many clients do IVF and it has not worked. I would actually say my IVF like success rate is really low. Now that I'm thinking about it as we're talking, I've only had a couple of people have successful IVF, but they've also had so many people have spent so much money on it. That's a different conversation for a different time. I'm not a huge fan of the way that we're kind of making a lot of money off of fertility problems, and it seems a little scammy. I don't know. I want to hear your guys' thoughts sometime. I want to observe it and get into the trenches with the, you know, the world over there more, but I think it is unfortunate that people are trying to kind of capitalize on the fertility struggles that more and more people are having these days, which are for a lot of different reasons. We're going to talk about that in a moment. But the main thing I want to say is that if you can prioritize getting really intimately good at learning your cycle through period trackers, ideally, those are going to be the least complicated way to learn your body. Highly recommend Flow app. That is the best one on the market. Trust me, I have converted so many of my clients to just trying it, and it's way better, way easier, way smarter. The algorithm is amazing and it's safe to use. All of your data is absolutely safe. It is 100% safe. You can read their privacy policy and all that kind of stuff. I did. I had to make sure, you know. So those things are going to be the best way that you can really learn your body and start to track things. If you do not track your cycle, you will have no idea what your body is doing, and you might as well just not like pay attention. You know what I mean? If anything, just log exactly when you get your period, how heavy it is. It just has little bubbles. You can click like the three little blood signs, two blood signs, or one to just show how heavy it is. And it will give you insights of like, hey, we've noticed that when you start your period, you're on like a 32-day cycle, which is kind of long. And you also don't really bleed that long, and it's a light period. That's a hormonal imbalance. That's something that will affect your fertility. So you do need to know these things, because they will be the ticket to a lot of answers of like, what could be wrong? You know what I mean? And then you can take that data, bring it to a fertility specialist, naturopathic doctor, functional medicine doctor. You know, there's a lot of really great nurse practitioners who are basically doctors, guys. Nurses are very smart when they get to those levels, because they're basically taking the same amount of schooling as a lot of doctors. I'm not saying that they're exactly the same, but NPs are practically doctors. That's why they can operate on their own. So they can be really great, useful resources as far as not just going strictly through like a primary care physician. I would honestly say if you're somebody who is challenged with your fertility or you want to check those things, your primary care physician isn't really going to be the best person. They're not really a specialist. They're more of a general health practitioner. So you may want to kind of explore for yourself and have a few sessions pay out of pocket for somebody who is more of a fertility specific doctor. That would be like a pro tip if you are really hardcore serious about fertility, but you can absolutely achieve a really healthy pregnancy without that much medical care. That would, might even just be more of a thing that you would do if you do track your cycle for like 3 months and you've noticed some significant irregular patterns, because then you want to get a little bit more professional help, okay? That's maybe a better way to say how you should approach further, more professional attention. Okay, but other things that you want to look at for health feedback are your stress levels. You know, is your hair falling out? Do you have brittle nails? Is your skin dry? Do you feel wired and tired? Do you feel like you can't relax? You know, is your job just out of control? Do you feel like you're just sitting at your desk stressed? Do you feel like you're not breathing enough? You know, we call that apnea. It's not just when you sleep. You know, do you have sleep apnea? That is a sign of high stress. And, you know, there's so many different things that come into play with symptoms that are from high stress levels, high cortisol, you know, and you can just Google it online, see like symptoms of high stress, you know, and then compare and become mindful of, am I seeing some of these things? You know what I mean? For myself, I absolutely started to realize my skin is really dry and itchy. My nails kind of have always sucked. And I have generally good sleep, but at the same time, there was a whole lot of other things that were going wrong. There'll be a future episode talking about adrenal fatigue, but you will want to know, because those things correlate to hormonal imbalances, and your hormone levels are everything with fertility. They're not something that you just throw out the window. You know, you could get away with not focusing on your hormones if you're going for fat loss or something like that. you can't get away with ignoring your hormones when it comes to fertility. So we do need to be paying attention to those types of symptoms for your stress levels because of that. Okay. But another great way to kind of get some insight is make sure you get your annual physical. So ask your doctor to run a complete metabolic panel that should be covered by your insurance. Your doctor should be running that anyways, but I've had so many clients that I've had to like specifically tell them to advocate for themselves and ask specifically for that. You can also mention to your doctor, like, I don't know if my insurance will cover it, but can you run some of the basic fertility hormones? I'm thinking about getting pregnant within the next, you know, 3 months, 6 months, year, whatever. And then just kind of continue that conversation with your doctor after that. You know, hopefully they won't give you pushback on it because it's your health. You pay for your health insurance. Like, I get really annoyed when doctors are like, oh, we don't think we really need to check that stuff. It's like, why not? Why not check it anyways? You know, it's from a blood draw anyways. You're going to be drawing your blood anyways. So run more things, get more insights. That's going to be really important for you for getting your baseline health in a snapshot, just from sort of like what is physically going on in your blood work. I always recommend, you know, like cortisol testing or dried urine testing if you need to get a lot more information. Again, that would be more if you're noticing through tracking your cycle that it's not regular, or you get a lot of clots in your cycle, or you only bleed for like 1 or 2 days versus like 3 or 4, maybe you bleed for like 5 or 6 or 7 days. You know, there's a lot of different things that are irregular in your cycle that are signs and symptoms of hormonal imbalances. So pay attention to that. That's again why the baseline of observing your health feedback is always going to relay to tracking your cycle and making observations from it when it comes down to fertility. Okay, guys. But the last thing I'll say is you can observe your body fat patterning as well for good insight on where your hormones might be. So for example, somebody who might be in estrogen excess, we call that estrogen dominance, where you have a lot more estrogen in your system than you do progesterone. They inverse each other. They're essential in the female cycle. If you're having too short of a luteal phase, again, that comes from tracking your cycle, too short of a luteal phase to kind of tell you is that you're starting to bleed, or your period starts on day 21 to like day 24 or 25. Sometimes that's too short of a cycle. Sometimes that can be normal, but sometimes it can be too short, especially if you're trying to be fertile and have a good part of your cycle where your egg is implanted and getting nourished by the lining. Progesterone creates a thickening of the lining in your cervix. So you want to make sure that you are having a longer luteal phase so that the egg can really get nourished and settle in and last. Because if you don't, then it won't. And then it'll just kind of pass through, even if it was fertilized. So that's why a luteal phase matters, and that's what your cycle tracking will tell you. But the body fat patterning that I tend to typically see that shows estrogen dominance is we usually will see a lot of fat deposited in your hips, booty, thighs, and lower belly. Sometimes you'll see kind of fat patterning that's increased just everywhere, but specifically in your thighs and booty and lower belly is like excess. That tends to mean estrogen excess in the body. We want to keep track of that. If you have a lot of belly fat out of nowhere, the rest of you, the fat is distributed kind of generally normal, and you have, but you just have a lot of excess belly fat, that typically means insulin resistance, cortisol dysregulation, basically a lot of like it's stress related body fat. So we want to be careful with that and make sure that you are aware of where your hormones are at in that way, because then that can typically lead to situations like PCOS or other hormonal imbalances where your androgens are too high, your cortisol is too high, and your estrogen and progesterone might be too low. You know, there's a lot of different things that can go on, but if you have specific body fat patterning that's a little bit out of control, that's some insight that you can also get as well of knowing where your hormones are at. So once you better understand your hormones, you know, hopefully you get on a program to help them be balanced or closer to balanced with a practitioner, somebody who is a professional, not just as some random health guru who claims they are an expert at hormones with no credentials on Instagram. I can't tell you how many times I've gotten sent somebody that somebody is just like, they talk really well, and I'm sure that they know some really good stuff, but if they don't have the scientific background and understand down to the physiology of how different supplements and regimens or programs can interfere with other things, like to a molecular level, and they can't back it up with like, you know, a lot more in-depth knowledge, which is what you're going to get from these health guru people who just like have researched well online. You know, maybe they did like a 1 or 2 year certification from some random school. You really want to get a practitioner in your corner, a functional medicine practitioner who specializes in feminine health or fertility, or a naturopathic doctor who does that as well. On top of if you're going to work with like a hormone coach, you know, because they unfortunately don't need any sort of licensing or whatnot. So I have to say that because there are so many people, you know, and all power to them, you know, it is a capitalist society where people are just trying to get their bread. And if they're really passionate about hormones, you know, that's great. But I do see a lot of like, quote unquote, malpractice or just misinformation or just people who think they know enough and they just really don't. And what they're teaching does not blanket everybody that they're trying to help. And unfortunately, there's a lot of people with big egos and people just won't say that. You know what I mean? So I would say your safest bet is to go with a practitioner who is medically licensed to help you through your fertility journey, through your hormones and all that jazz. Okay. So that's really important to say. But the number one area to prioritize, I would say, from the get-go, if you had to like narrow it down when you start to zoom out and look at your lifestyle, is make sure that you're really prioritizing really good quality nourishment from foods and high quality therapeutically dosed supplements, okay? So you want to go from brands that are trusted, you know, like Vital Nutrients, Pure Encapsulations, Designs for Health, Thorn. You know, I've had a lot of clients have amazing success with Thorn's prenatal vitamin. And so you really want to make sure that you're getting good quality vitamins, because those ones are going to most likely be absorbed and utilized in your body and help refill the stores that get depleted in our organs of these different vitamins that do different things. And remember, when you're pregnant and you create a baby, on average, you usually lose around 40% of your nutrient stores, and that is a lot. So that's why we tend to see a lot of people struggle more who are already depleted in majority of their nutrients that are important that you give to your baby, because they just didn't take the proper care or were not given proper care from just negligent practitioners or things like that, where you just didn't spend enough time filling those stores of nutrients, you know? And I've seen it time and time again, like friends or clients and stuff that like either I didn't get to work with or just didn't really take my advice with taking at least a good quality prenatal and a good quality DHA omega-3 supplement and making sure they're getting enough actually absorbable B vitamins. So a lot of females actually don't methylate well, which means they don't activate B vitamins well. So they're not actually absorbing them when they take B vitamins from other cheaper supplements. And therefore, I've seen like a lot more challenges in pregnancy and iron. You know, iron is a really important one. We lose a lot of iron every time we have our period. So if you're a female and you haven't been taking good care of yourself with eating enough red meat, cooking in cast iron, or eating enough iron-rich foods or quality supplements, there's a good chance that you're going to be low on ferritin, which is the active way that we utilize iron in our bodies. So you want to make sure that all of those things are really at good levels before pregnancy, because it can be a lot harder for you postpartum if you don't take the time to fill all of those stores in your body. And that doesn't mean just taking supplements for 1 month. You know, you only absorb and store a certain amount every time you eat those nutrients. Again, especially if your gut is out of whack, you know, if you have IBS or all this other stuff. So you have to work even harder and a little bit longer to make sure that you're absorbing all of those nutrients and storing them properly, okay? So that could be a conversation for a whole nother time, but, and maybe we will kind of circle back onto that during hot take summer, but it's important for you to know that you can get a lot of really great quality vitamins and minerals from good quality foods. So that's why we really want to eat a balanced mixed plate whole food diet, because that's going to be the best way that you're going to get the best nutrients possible. I would say please do not follow the advice of avoiding red meat. If you can get sustainably raised good quality red meat, mixing that into your diet one time a week or two times a week is going to be very important for you, because there is so many vitamins, guys, especially B12, that you can get from good quality grass-fed red meat that you don't get from almost any other source. I mean, bison and venison and stuff are other sources, but I mean, those are all red meats. But I mean, most people default to beef is what I mean. So any of those, if you can get a really nice quality red meat, whatever version you like, eat that at least once or twice a week, and you're going to get a ton of really good quality. It's almost like a multivitamin in a way when you break down just how many different nutrients are involved in red meat for the female body that bleeds monthly. Okay, that's what's really important to understand is if you're bleeding, you need to replace that iron. And unfortunately, not a lot of plant sources are very good at that, and or our bodies, especially if you were raised on animal proteins early in your life, our body becomes optimal at breaking apart animal proteins. And so when you're starting to shift to only eating plant-based proteins, your body may not be absorbing those nutrients as well as they did with animal proteins because they've gotten used to getting all of those nutrients from animal sources. So that's a consideration to have because that's typically why we do see a lot of plant-based humans around year 3 to 5 start to struggle with different mood disorders like anxiety and depression and such, because around 5 years is when you start to run out of your nutrient stores and things start to go awry. So it doesn't matter how many fancy supplements you might be on, you simply may not just be absorbing it properly because whatever form you're consuming is not ideal for your body, like your unique digestion and all of that. And so it's really important to consider if you have been somebody who might be nutrient deficient from different eating styles, you know, maybe you're a yo-yo dieter, maybe you're a binge and restrict, maybe you're somebody who's just removed entire nutrient-dense food groups, aka animals, out of your lifestyle, you will be at a higher risk of being nutrient deficient. Time and time again, I've talked to even just inquiries and they've told me that they tried to do the vegan thing and around year 6 or 7, their hair was falling out and they were struggling with depression and all these different things. And so their doctors were like, hey, I really think you should start to reincorporate animal proteins because your nutrient stores are really low and obviously you're not absorbing your supplements. So I would say that this is life or death for you. You know what I mean? Unfortunately, it's that harsh. So sometimes we have to put our ego aside when it comes to when you're trying to get fertile and nourished. It's really fascinating, honestly, when you go onto like YouTube or any of these other, you know, media sources where you can actually compare a plant-based placenta to a omnivorous mixed diet placenta. And it's insane how really poor quality the plant-based placenta is. And it's just like almost makes you kind of really concerned about like creating a baby and like making them have to be nutrient deficient potentially. because of the lack of nutrients that you even have. And not saying that you can't have a healthy pregnancy being vegan, most likely you're rolling off the nutrients that you consumed growing up when you were eating more animal products. That's literally just the science behind it, unfortunately. But at the same time, if you're somebody who's been eating that way for a very long time, I actually even have a close friend who went through this. She could not get pregnant. She was a 10-year vegan. And she was having a slew of symptoms going wrong. And then it only took 1 year of eating no restrictions, animal proteins. And she immediately got pregnant a year after recovery from all the nutrient deficiencies she had eating healthy vegan, quote unquote. So we have to honor and understand what our body is trying to tell us and maybe adjust how we source things if it's an ethics thing or any of that kind of stuff, because there is a lot more to the picture in your health, in my opinion, especially if you're trying to have a very healthy, fertile environment for your pregnancy. You really have to consider at least taking a temporary break from whatever eating style you're doing if it is not going to be or is not supportive of a very healthy, nourished pregnancy and baby. Again, that can go into a whole different conversation, but guys, I've been working in this industry for 10 years now. I've worked alongside probably over 100 pregnancies, and I have never seen something go successful with a fully vegan pregnancy. I've had people have clubfoot babies, cleft lip babies, and all this stuff. They're not my clients. They're like close friends and or my client's family. And they say like, hey, you know, it's really not ideal to be vegan and have pregnancy and like for your baby's health, you know, for the nutrients. and people just ignore them. And then these things happen, you know, and those things happen with a mixed plate diet as well. I'm totally not going to say it's not that, but I would say we do know there's a high correlation between nutrient deficiencies and living a plant-based lifestyle for the average American, because not very many people are good at cooking for themselves and doing as many varieties of plant-based food items that are required to hit your amino acid profile and your nutrient profile that is essential. And there's also a lot of nutrients that are extremely essential to vitality, like B12, that are not in any plant-based sources. Even nutritional yeast. Yeast is still it's a creature. it's not a plant. It's not like an inanimate object. Yeast is still a creature. So you have to eat creatures sometimes to get the nutrients you want, you know? So that's really important caveat to say, because when you're preparing for fertility, you will have challenges if you are removing entire nutrient-dense food groups from your day-to-day eating. I cannot stress that enough, because I have absolutely seen issues with that when not, okay? I mean, I've had people that have been vegan and they could not get pregnant and they've had to utilize other routes to have babies. There's a whole slew of things, you know, IVF and all that stuff. And sometimes those don't even work. So it's very important to understand that that does not innately mean you're just healthier because of whatever is going on social media right now. So the other thing that's really important for you to understand is that you will need to rework your relationship to stress. I know I mentioned it earlier, but I cannot tell you enough that you just really cannot connect with your foundational health that is necessary for your best fertility if you are just stressed out 24/7, or you have no idea what rest and digest means, you know, if your body is always in the sympathetic nervous system, which is like fight or flight or freeze, versus rest and digest, which is your parasympathetic nervous system, you know. If you're not getting good quality sleep, that's a sign of that. If you can't stay asleep, if you don't get good like brain clarity in the morning, you're having brittle nails, hair, skin's dry, all those different things are signs that you are overstressed, you know, too much cortisol overload, like we talked about before in this. So I really, really, really want to stress, pun intended, that you cannot make good success with your fertility if you don't slow down a bit and work on your stress and work on your nourishment. Because stress doesn't just stay in our head, and it's not just like external from us. It goes all the way into our gut, and our gut microbiome is so key for everything from your immune system to how well you absorb nutrients to your mood, your mental health, you know, so many things. In your gut health, guys, you pass it right on to your baby. Your baby's gut flora is your flora. And we are seeing so many babies come out with a lot of imbalances in their flora, hello, celiac disease and all these different things, because we have poor gut health going into our pregnancy. So I feel like I could make a whole episode on the gut health side, but I would still love to have some chats with some other guests talking about optimizing gut health, you know, for pregnancy. So stay tuned for those. But I will say that you do need to have a good amount of fiber in your diets, you know, good quality berries, good whole grains, vegetables, and all of that good stuff mixed in with things like flax seeds that are ground up and chia seeds, you know, those feed your gut with like prebiotics. Berries have prebiotics as well. And you want to eat those in conjunction with a good, you know, healthy, high protein diet, and work on how you can optimize your probiotics. So the gut bacteria that is in the walls lining your intestines. And you can find some really good billion count probiotics all over the place. Like Dr. Brighton has a great one. There's a couple of other practitioners that have better quality probiotics. I wouldn't get like just the plain old shelf stable ones that you can just find at like Safeway or your local grocery store. I would try to get one that has more specific benefits for either fertility, yes, they have those now, or vaginal health, or feminine health in general, because there's different strains of probiotics or gut bacteria, aka, that will be better for you to try to get and deposit into your gut. And there's different types, like there's soil-based probiotics, which help get into the lining of your gut better and hang out and deposit where you may have had a lot of pathogens, so bad bacteria and stuff, proliferate in your gut, causing a lot of issues. Like if you're somebody who suffers with IBS and stuff, it's really important for you to get a better quality, stronger type of probiotic that can actually pass all of those pathogens. That, like, pathogens make like a little shield essentially with like goop that they excrete, and soil-based probiotics can get past that goop and be like, move over, I'm coming in, I'm gonna create healthy bacteria and help get you guys out, essentially, which is really key, because a lot of times we'll just take a generic general probiotic and none of that probiotic actually is working because it just can't get past all the pathogens, goop, quote unquote, in your gut lining. So it's really important that you do a couple cycles, maybe 60 days, 90 days with a good quality, stronger probiotic, and then shift yourself into, you know, your usual whatever brand is recommended. And again, this is more ideal. This is all not medical advice. I have to say that again. And you do want to go make sure that you are working with a practitioner should you know that you have worse gut from gut symptoms like bloating, gas, stomach pain or abdominal pain, funky smelling vagina. Sorry to have to say that, but that is a sign that your pH is off, which means that your bacteria is off. Yes, our intestinal bacteria does correlate to our vaginal flora. And if you are not acidic enough and you don't have a good amount of healthy bacteria down there, you will have bacterial overgrowth of the bad bacteria, and that's the stinky stuff. So those are all signs that something is off, okay? So definitely work with a practitioner for that. You can get better quality recommendations and direction that way. But if I had to tell you just from the jump, you do want to look for better quality probiotics. I can link some in the show notes, or I do have some on my Amazon store, like I've mentioned before, at coachkales.com, where you can go and see some of my top recommendations in that realm. But let's move on to step two, because we could just keep talking about all the little details until the end of time. Okay, so now that you've zoomed out, observed your lifestyle, seen where you could probably improve, you're gonna want to write down the areas that you believe to be your least ideal when it comes to measuring against what is most fertility supportive. And start to think about what, if you had to make a hierarchy of what you could prioritize first, look at all of those, maybe reorganize them, or maybe on the other side of the sheet, write down, okay, this is the one that I want to prioritize first. This one I think is most accessible. Okay, this is next accessible, yada, yada. Keep going down your list until you kind of have a list of how you can adjust majority of those least ideal habits of yours, okay? And then once you take those, it's going to be a lot easier for you to become actionable about your changes. I think one thing that a lot of people miss in when they are working on habit changing is they try to mimic like things that somebody else does. You know, a lot of people love the like what I eat in a day videos, and it's like you probably don't actually like the taste of half the food they're making, and so why would you follow that if it's not something that's like custom to you, right? And that's why I love having the approach of what foods do you like? Okay, how do we optimize like your macronutrient ratios to support your health goals, the body composition you want, and all of that? That's the best way to approach it as an individual person, but I know that as a consumer, it can be easier to you just be like, I'm just going to follow whatever this person did because it's what worked for them. But then you run the risk of it not working for you and you getting frustrated thinking something's wrong with you and there's nothing wrong with you, okay? And also, usually those what I eat in a days are complete BS. Like maybe they ate that way that day because they were like, this is what people want to see, you know? And then in reality, it's like, it's just not how you eat at all, really. Or maybe that's at your breakfast, but then everything else went to vanity for the aesthetic versus what you actually eat. So I'd be careful about ever following any of those things for a full day of eating for yourself, but you could take some maybe some recipe ideas or something like that. But how you can apply that to yourself with these ideal or non-ideal habits that you have currently compared to everything we talked about already, you're going to be able to actually just actionably change your own lifestyle to things that you know will support you better because it's things that you actually already do. So you can just adjust that already. So maybe you're somebody who's pretty sedentary, you get pretty tired after your whole work day, but you've been sitting in your desk all day. Maybe starting to hold the line with after dinner, you go on a nice stroll outside. You know, nothing feels better. People would say like, oh, actually watching Netflix all night feels better. Okay, well, walk and then watch Netflix. Walking after dinner is such a good digestion habit, blood sugar management habit, and just straight up a great way to drop your nervous system down at the end of your day. So if you have a really stressful life, you know, I'm sure there's a good 15 to 20 minutes you actually could prioritize and cut out to get yourself, you and your partner, you and your kiddos, you know, whatever it is, you and your pet, outside in the fresh air at night and get a good little stroll. That is going to do so many things for you in so many areas, but at the same time, it's a really easy switch to, I'm just sedentary all the time. I hork down my dinner and then I veg out scrolling on my phone and watching Netflix or something like that. You know, that's a very not fertility supportive habit, but you can combine the two. So there is the opportunity for you to habit stack and add in a 15, 20, 30 minute evening walk after dinner and then relax down onto the couch or whatever. So little things like that are a lot more accessible and more realistic, and you will probably adhere to it a lot better. And the common denominator for anything that ever works for people is adherence. So finding what you can adhere to in your life and find new joy or find just more pleasure in naturally is going to be your best bet. So again, with step two, make sure that you write down all the areas that you think are where you fall short when it comes to supporting your fertility habits, where it comes to like your nutrition choices or your fitness or movement choices, and try to adjust them one little bit at a time. And then I guess, you know, step two and step three are kind of hand in hand, but step three would then be picking a few of those habit changes that you've written down. You don't have to do all of them right away. Pick like the top three or four on your list and, or two or one, and commit yourself to it, so that you can start to make the change necessary to get your body into the happiest, most fertile state possible. So the thing that's really key here is commit yourself. One of the things I've always seen be a problem is people don't commit to themselves the same way that they commit to other stuff in life. And we should have the strongest commitment to ourselves as possible compared to any other relationship in our life. And it can be tough because we've honestly been taught to not, you know, respect ourselves, take care of ourselves or whatever, be as humble as possible, which sometimes that just looks like self-deprecation. And all of those things are not supportive of you taking care of yourself and respecting yourself and showing up for yourself and honoring yourself. You know, I recently made an Instagram post about this, that you really have to honor yourself through your actions. And a lot of these things that you might find yourself needing to change are habits that may have been comforting to you, but they got you to where you are now, which if it is in the angle of you're not feeling like you're supportive of fertility or nourishment. And fertility honestly just comes hand in hand with being your healthiest self. Like if we're just being real, a lot of the times you being into your healthiest body is your most fertile body. That's just how it goes. And so when you are thinking about how you can improve that, you need to commit. You have to tell yourself, maybe even write yourself a little note or something and tell yourself like, I am committing myself to the next 3 months. You know, you can make it time stamped. I'm committing to this or that, removing the junk food from the house, only having it once a month, you know, once a weekend, if that's something that's a tough habit for you to break, but you slowly want to wean it down. You know, I've had a lot of clients have issues with like fast food or soda or whatever. And sometimes we just have to put it down to where you have smaller containers. Like one of my clients, it worked really well for her to just buy those tiny sodas from Target, I think is where she found them. But they're at a lot of places, the tiny little cans, because then you get the taste of it, but the portion is forced smaller. And oftentimes if you take one out, you're not going to be as inclined to get more. Whereas the bad habits for her in the past came from drinking from the 1.5 liter giant plastic bottles, because her family growing up would always just have these giant liter of soda in the fridge. And then of course you can drink as much as you want, you know, it's whatever the vessel is you pour it into. Whereas if you have these tiny cans, we found that it was really helpful for her to reduce and eventually get rid of the need to have soda all the time. And so little things like that can be helpful, you know. Wean down to fast food is a Saturday dinner treat. I don't like saying cheat. Cheat meals are not, you're not cheating anything. Treating though, treating can be kind of hard too, because you shouldn't be treating yourself because you're not like a dog or something like that. But with all that said, it's just really important that you find whatever way you can wean down to the ultimate goal of no more fast food until pregnancy or something like that, or whatever it is, whatever helps you stay in alignment with your fertility goals. And that's what is going to be the best for you. So I'm going to end today's chat on remembering that, or reminding you rather, that you don't have to be perfect to have a healthy pregnancy. And I always recommend that if you can prepare yourself for pregnancy, you will always improve your experience doing whatever is in your control to improve your fertility before conception. It's always going to be harder for the people who don't do anything prior to getting pregnant, that they will have usually the chances they were gonna have, but you will improve your chances if you start to, you know, take your good supplements, start to move more, work on balancing your hormones, bring your body fat, your excess body fat down, so you're not at as risk of like gestational diabetes or a variety of different things, including infertility. And so there's a lot of things that you can really do now to help your fertility chances so that you're not blowing thousands of dollars on IVF that may or may never work, or all these different things, you know. But the last thing I really would like to note that I hope you take to heart is that it's really underrated how much the male's sperm quality impacts your chances of a viable pregnancy as well. So from everything from environmental toxins to endocrine disruptors, which are, I guess you can consider those environmental toxins, but poor lifestyle habits like junk food, vaping, sedentarism, lack of strength training, high stress, low sun exposure, all of those things that are honestly, unfortunately, really common for a lot of the males these days. Our sperm counts and the quality of our sperm is the lowest it's ever been, ever, well, since it's been tracked. And unfortunately, that is something to take seriously, because if you have a partner with poor sperm quality, they will be a huge reason you could be struggling to get pregnant in general, or have the pregnancy remain viable long term to a full term. And it's really, really, really important that you think about your partner and his sperm quality as the 50-50 equation. A lot of the times we just think because the female is the one who creates the baby and all that stuff, it's a like 90-10. No, the beginning, it's always a 50-50, because the sperm needs to be also very strong, make its way to the egg and have good solid DNA and all that to make a pregnancy that will last, you know? So do not think that it's your fault, if only your fault, if you struggle to have a good pregnancy early on or whatnot, because there's a lot of signs that you can find that maybe your partner has poor sperm quality. And it's like the hardest thing, because even like moms will be really defensive if the son might have potentially like not good sperm. Like it's like an ego thing all the way around. Like the partner, the male partner, will be like, oh, I can't believe you'd question that something's wrong with my fertility. And then like the family or the mom would be like, there shouldn't be anything wrong with it. Like I'm speaking from experience, from people, like clients that I've discussed this stuff with. And like people just can't believe that it could be the male's fault. But it's like, yeah, it's a 50-50 equation. Like, and unfortunately we have really unhealthy males nowadays as well, with really imbalanced hormones and poor sperm quality. And so that's going to play a role in the problems with pregnancy. So make sure that you watch certain signs. So if you notice that they have a pretty unhealthy lifestyle, preemptively try to help them do the same thing and identify habits that should change to increase your odds of fertility. So all those things that I listed earlier, doing the opposite of it is basically how you can get healthier sperm. You do need to have strong levels of testosterone. So strength training is one of the easiest ways for males to improve that and improve their blood sugar and insulin resistance and all that stuff. So there's a lot of benefits just from these little lifestyle habit changes that are essential. You know, guys need enough zinc. They need enough vitamin D. They always say zinc for your dink. You know, if you're not eating enough, like your fertility is going to suffer, which is a big deal. And so the signs, like I was saying before, is if you have an ability to conceive, like you're starting to try to, and just nothing's working, and you have signs of fertility, like a solid cycle, you know, you're watching your cervical mucus, you're watching your symptoms, you know, all this different stuff, and everything looks pretty healthy and strong for you, then that might be a sign that maybe it's his situation going on that needs some attention, or you're having a lot of early miscarriages. So you're starting to be pregnant, but then the egg is no longer viable. Like the whole embryo, just, it doesn't work out. Like, you know, like miscarriages that happen within the first 12 weeks or so. I think it might even be a little bit less than that. That can be a sign that the sperm is not healthy enough. So those are little things that you want to pay attention to and explore, because it's really, really, really important that you don't feel like it's all your fault and that it's just about you. Because I can't tell you how many times a lot of people have never explored the male's fertility and they end up divorcing or whatever because, like, he really wants kids and she can't provide them, and then it's his fault, you know? My Uber driver was actually telling me that story, that that happened to his sister. And so, because then she left and got a second husband and she had like 3 kids with him, and that ended up being the other guy. It was his fertility issues because he got another wife too and they still couldn't have kids. So not having an ego with it for you and for your partner is so important. It's so important to not have an ego, be mindful of observing yourself and your lifestyle and your patterns and making the right choices that support you and your partner on your fertility journey. So there's so much more that we can talk about, and stay tuned for some guests that are professionals in this kind of fertility industry. And we will have some really good conversations that you'll want to tune in for, a lot more diving deep into actionable things that you can do to have your healthiest pregnancy possible. But if you found today's episode helpful or some good nuggets of knowledge in there, please share it to your Instagram or send it to your bestie or family member, somebody who you think might need to hear it that can benefit from our chat today. But that's it for today's episode. Celebrate your strength and nourishment. Walk with confidence, and I will catch you next week on another episode of Rebel Wellness. Hey Rebel, I just want to say a huge thank you for tuning in and sharing this space with us. Before we sign off, I've got some exciting ways for you to stay connected and to take your wellness journey even further with me. First up, if you haven't already, make sure to swing by CoachKales.com and sign up for our newsletter. It's your go-to source for the latest episodes, exclusive content, and a whole lot more wellness goodness delivered straight to your inbox. Check out the show notes for those high-quality tips on nutrition, fitness, and just overall well-being. Follow us on Instagram at Rebel Wellness Podcast and my flagship page at Kaylee Loren. We're all about building a community where we can share, inspire, and grow together. So I would love to see you there. Now, if you're looking to reset and realign after a vacation, a hectic work season, or just because you feel like it's time for a healthful cleanse, I've got something super special for you, and it's 100% free. Head over to stan.store/kales and download my free realignment detox guide. You can also find it at coachkale.com in the freebies section. I'm sharing my unique holistic approach to help you cut back inflammation, improve your skin, and even shed some excess weight with this guide. So trust me, you're gonna love it. Go download it for free now. But last but not certainly least, if you've got a burning health question you'd like answered on the show, or if you're curious about my one-on-one remote coaching or group courses, don't hesitate to visit my website and reach out to me there, or hello@kayleeloren.com is my best email for contacting me. I am here to support you on your journey to wellness, so do not feel afraid to reach out. All right, Rebel, catch you on the next episode.